Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. We are in, Chayvus Halavis Shar HaKniyah, Perek Yud, Bezos Hashem. And here, the Chayvus Halavis is tying up his discussion on Kniyah, which, again, we generally call anova, humility, more particularly being humbled before Hashem. He's tying up his discussion by discussing what do you gain from the Midah of Kniyah. And right now he was discussing material benefits. These material benefits, you have to be on a pretty high madrig in order to really get them. But the truth is that I must say that, yeah, the Midah of anova is from the more complex, refined midas. It's not like a midah to dive into as the first thing on your list. It's not pashut. Whatever it is, just to quickly recap, the first one, then we're in the middle of the third, the material benefits. What material benefits do you gain from the midah of kniyah, anova? So number one, he said, you'll enjoy your lot more, which, as we discussed, is a little counterintuitive, because we don't, when we want things, you know, let's say we realize, okay, I'm a little too into wanting this and wanting that. I don't think of it as gaiva. I think of it as like, you know, too materialistic, too much taiva, whatever it is. But he's saying if a person would really reach the correct levels of anava, he would feel so much like not on his own territory here. I'm in someone else's house. I'm being permitted entry for free. And you take what you get, right? This is very, understand why this is such a high madrega to really feel that way. This person, mamash, feel like his presence in Olam Hazeh, his presence in this world, we naturally feel like, well, this is my place, right? I'm trying to convey this while in an attempt to try to connect to it myself. This is something very high. My person, mamash, feels like I'm in someone else's house. I take what he gives me. Imagine if you suddenly, a half hour before Shabbos, you find yourself stuck on the road somewhere. You call somebody, a friend of yours, you haven't spoken to him in 5 years, and you suddenly call him half hour before Shabbos. I'm stuck on the road. I have nowhere to go. Can I drop it in your house? Right? And he's right in the thick of all his Shabbos preparations, and he says, oh, you're stuck? Yeah, sure. I'm not here. He's not going to turn you down if you're stuck, right? You show up in his house, and they're in the frenzy of the Shabbos making, right? You're not going to start coming with all kinds of, you know, expecting customer service, right? You kind of like, okay, show me where, you kind of almost apologetically, you know, you take the accommodations he gives you, and that's all. Okay, Hashem is not busy preparing for Shabbos. But the point is, if you really sense that I'm on someone else's turf, this is not my territory, I have no entitlements here, and then I can really appreciate, and more than that, what I'm trying to pay for is woefully inadequate. Then you really come to a place of, wow, if Hashem is giving me a three-room apartment with hot water and air conditioning, I'm very appreciative. Not pashut, but this is the madriga that he's describing here. And he's saying that adrab, when a person really gets to this, it's not that he'll be in a better place in Ruchnius. This will make you enjoy your gashmius more. Because when you take away any of your sense of entitlement, when you really can manage to obliterate any sense of expectation, you really will enjoy more. You'll end up enjoying life more. Okay, we try to connect to this, not push it. Number two, he said, this is taking it even further. Anichna, when he's put through misfortune, chalila, or tribulation, he won't be as distressed. Now again, pain is pain for everybody, but it's much harder when you feel like, I don't deserve this. Why should this be happening to me? When a person really feels like I don't deserve anything, the experience is the same, but the pain and the aggravation is a lot less. Now again, high madrega, but we're exposing ourselves to the Chayvus Halavos' spheres. Number three, and this is what we're in the middle of here. I think we actually said we're going to elaborate on it more last time. Benefit number three. I just want to reiterate again, even though I've already reiterated it 10 times. Opposed to these are not exhortations. He's not telling you should come to a place where you don't have, in Mitachon he was talking about that. You should come to a place where you can go through an ordeal comfortably feeling that this is good for me. That's what he's saying here. He's saying here, if you really get to the meat of Kenia, you will gain the benefit of not having as painful an experience. He's not urging you to reach it. Then you work on Kenia. One of the benefits will be that if you really get there, misfortunes will not be as painful. Mind-boggling. Okay, but number three is that you will enjoy popularity. People like a humble person. He's more easygoing, he's less demanding, he is more forgiving of people, right? And here's where we got into the discussion that we ended with last time. How he described here, he's also the same thing in the Igeres HaRamban, how a person with the real midah of anava can operate mamish in contradictory directions. We said, when he meets any person, he feels like, I should be humbling myself before this person. Why? So he said, if he's smarter than me, that means he probably has his service mission better worked out than I do. He's probably functioning better than me in terms of his service of Hashem. He's smarter than me. He probably has a better handle on it. Therefore, I should act with deference toward him. If he's dumber than you, you say, well, the Nichna says, the Chavis HaLava says, oh, he's probably in a better position with Hashem than I am because I understand more than him. There are greater demands on me. I know that I'm not living up to everything I understand. Since he understands less, Hashem doesn't have the same expectations of him, and therefore, he's probably in better position. So Mamish, going in both directions. And the same thing, he goes on and says, if the person is wealthy, then I say, oh, wow, if I appreciate all this chusim a person can get with his money, this person must be giving all kinds of tzedakah and everything. I should lower my head before him. And if the person is poor, I say, wow, he's probably a humble person. He probably is a lot more bitachon in Hashem than me. He's been put through the grind. Yisurim make a person close to Hashem. I should humble myself before him. So, Mamish using it in contradictory directions. Now, he said that the truth is that, like Ramir pointed out, this is obviously, to a certain extent, leaving room for not really knowing exactly what the other person is about. Like, let's say you know a wealthy person, and you know what he does with his money, right? He does not spend it on stocker. We're not talking about making up stories. Oh, no. I'm the finder. But we're talking about the understanding that as long as I don't know a person very well, my assumption is going to be favorable. My assumption is going to be favorable. And therefore, since we know that having more money can be a reason for more merit, not necessarily. Having less money can also be a reason for more merit. But since I know that either one could be, so I say this person is probably utilizing his opportunities well, and I respect him for it. It's again, it isn't a contradiction. There isn't really a contradiction. The contradiction is if wealth or poverty is objectively better for avodas Hashem. But it isn't. We know that wealth can either be an opportunity to grow or a pitfall. Poverty can either be an opportunity to grow or a pitfall. So if I say this person reached very, very great madrigas because he had a lot of money, this person reached very, very great madrigas as a poor person, there's no contradiction there. Right? We all understand that, right? So it isn't really contradictory. The same thing goes for wisdom and lack of wisdom, right? We all understand that wisdom can be a vehicle of getting you to very high places. It can also not be, in which case you'll be held that much more accountable. So really the point here is that when I look at any person, my assumption is he's probably making the most of himself. Why should I assume otherwise? As long as I don't know otherwise, this is my assumption. If that's my assumption, I'm going to lower my head before him. Also not push it, but it's not a contradiction that it seems. Yeah, we're talking about very high madrigas. But lemaisa, the result of this, the Chavis HaLavavis, remember, the Chavis HaLavavis, here he's not exhorting us. What he's saying is, Lamaisa, if you're this type of person, you will be a very well-liked person. A person who's humble. A person who always looks at people and says, wow, what a wonderful person this person must be. You understand that everybody around you is going to like you, right? Anybody who you know that thinks that you are the most amazing person, you like them, right? So if you're the type of person that looks at people and says, wow, everyone you know is going to like you. That's his point. That's his point. Humility will gain you popularity and favor. So now, V'chein Amar Chazal. Chazal said, V'vedonis kol ha'adam l'kav zchus. Judge every person favorably. So this is interesting because he's putting this into the context of Anova. My natural tendency is not to assume I'm probably better than the other person. I prefer to assume that he's better than me. And this ties into Danis Kol Adam Lekav Zchus. And in the Kabbalah is called Adam Meseva Panim Yafis. Greet everyone with good cheer. So again, in the context that he's putting this into now, this means with respect. I don't know if any of you have ever met the current Mashgiach of the Meir Yeshiva, Rabbi Yamin Finkel. He became Mashgiach of the Meir Yeshiva only a couple of years ago, and Rabbi Aaron Chodesh was Nifter. But for years and years before that, he was a demus in the Yeshiva. Even before he had an official position, there was Mashgiach in about every other Yeshiva in Israel. But he was called in the Yeshiva, they called him Bin Yamin Atzadik. He was just a brilliant figure. And he, Mamish, was like, extreme in this sense. Like he met, when he would meet a bacher, talking to a bacher, or talking to a young man, or whatever it is, a kollel person, a talmid, he would mamish talk with the sense of, what is chusid is that you take me out the time to talk to me. That was how we would talk. Now, it can make you nervous because you feel like he's making fun of you, right? But like we had a special vad with him. This was years ago, way before he was a mashgiach. We had a special vad with him. Me, a group of other bachrim. He gave us a vad. This is something very, very special. Many times later, when I would meet him, come over, right? And he'd say, oh, wow, he would tell me, the days that I had the schus of learning from you in that vad. That's how he talks to people. And, you know, first he could kind of feel like, come on, wait. Don't make a joke out of me. But you know what? This is really his attitude towards people. He loves everybody around. He really thinks they're the greatest thing in the world. And you know what? He's a very, very sought-after person. Is that what the Chazal is saying? He's a very, very popular. People like to be around him, want to have a few minutes to talk to him, because this is what he's always conveying. Okay. And Taka, I have the schus of counting him as one of my rabbeim, not just through the things that I heard from him, but also just through interacting and watching him interact. And it says, ma'oid, ma'oid, hevish falrach, be very, very unassuming. Va'amru, ye odam rach kekone, ba yikoshe ke'erez, be soft like a reed. It's very flexible. Wind blows, it just lowers its head. Doesn't stand up to the wind. Are you going to start up with me? Wind wants to blow, go over. Once the wind has passed, it gets back up, right? Don't be hard like a cedar, right? That's what the Gemara draws a comparison. The cedar says to the wind, what do you think you're starting up with? It stands up there. Many times the wind can't blow it down. But when a wind, strong wind does come, it's knocked over and that's that. It doesn't get back up afterwards. But a reed, anything comes along, lowers its head, goes by, it's back up. It says, because of this characteristic, is why Hashem chose the reed to use as the quill to show that this is a characteristic, a feature that Hashem favors. Okay, we've seen the material benefits of Anova. Next time, Bezos Hashem, we'll see what the spiritual benefits are. A good Shabbos. Welcome to you.
A Shabbos cultive.
Shabbos, b'chin to you.